Hey everybody, thanks for joining us here for Riders Meeting from the San Diego Supercross. I'm David Pingree, joined by Bruce Murata, and interesting weekend down in San Diego, another mudder. I know we were all a little bit bummed, but it was a different kind of mudder. Not like what we had in San Francisco, not so thick and goopy.
Yeah.
But more greasy and hard, which is kind of what we expected. Let's jump right into the 250 class. This is the Rock and Turf 250 class, our sponsors for this show here, Rock and Turf. If you guys need any kind of artificial grass work, hardscape, concrete, boulders, any kind of stuff like that, these guys are awesome. Rockandturflandscape.com. And also brought to you by Maxxis, Maxxis.com, and their light-duty truck tires. Great stuff. If you guys are in the market, check those guys out. Really nothing super crazy in the 250 heats. Kitchen and Marchbanks got the wins, and Marchbanks has been having a great season, and he would continue that in the main. Mm-hmm. So let's just jump right into that main event. And your guy, RJ Hampshire, got out to a quick lead, looked like he had things under control, and then the track was super one-lined.
Right.
I mean, no lines, really, but as the mains kind of wore on, it got a decent line through it. But man, if you got out of that, it was tough.
Yeah, and that's like, with RJ, I feel like he learned the track better once he got past. Because he got off to a really good start. I mean, he hole-shotted, he led. But he was like, there was some sections that others were doing better. You know, for example, you get Kitchen where before the whoops, he was double, tripling out right there into the whoops was...
Thrasher or Kitchen?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thrasher.
Thrasher, yeah.
Thrasher. So that was...
That was fast.
That was fast. Yeah.
And the only other guy I'd seen doing all night was AP.
Right, right.
At that point.
But also that triple, that cost RJ a lot of time when he wasn't tripling that thing. Yeah. And then, because once Marchbanks and Thrasher got around him, he started noticing like, oh wow, they're hitting that triple. He starts jumping the triple and then he's staying right there with them.
Yeah.
So
it's hard when you're leading, you have to make those decisions without any kind of knowledge. You don't know if they're doing it until they jump right beside you, which happened a couple times to him.
Right.
And you're probably, I imagine he's going, okay, just don't do anything stupid. I got a lead here. Just let's manage it. And that triple was sketchy. To come out of a greasy, muddy turn like that and try to throttle control your way into it, man, it's sketchy. I was stunned they were doing it all night.
Well, and you brought up the conditions in the beginning of this, how it's not the same kind of mud as San Francisco. And it's because, I mean, the day started off great.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched practice free, or as far as like free practice went, the track was, it was dry.
Yeah.
You know, and so... they started the day off with normal track conditions, and then with that rainfall, it just got on that top layer, which made it obviously super slimy.
Yeah. Skatey.
I also want, I don't want us to forget about Kitchen. He was riding really good.
Yeah.
Before he went down, he was putting some pressure on RJ.
Yeah, I think he might have gone by because he was doing that triple. He was kind of figuring things out. And again, that's that benefit of being behind. You watch the leader, you can see where he's better, pick that up. Mm-hmm. Now take your spots on the track, like the triple or whatever, and all of a sudden, you're going much quicker. He had a crash there right after where you cross over the start and would drop out. For a minute, I thought Garrett Marchbanks was going to win this.
Yeah, yeah. He rode really good.
He was doing really the triple. Good. He was catching RJ, mm-hmm. And eventually did go by him.
Yep.
But it was Nate Thrasher, who for me, kind of all year has been a little quiet. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him, obviously having the speed and ability to win, but we just haven't really seen it.
Yeah.
He struggled in San Francisco, barely made the main event, and he had to win the LCQ to do it. And he just kind of came out of nowhere to me. All of a sudden, he was moving, made his way to the front, and really made it look kind of easy.
Yeah.
By the end of that race.
Yeah, and I feel, there's two sides of this too, where with Marchbanks, he definitely, the lappers really made it difficult. But you really can't be too hard on the lappers for this race, Ping, because the track was one line, you know? So it's hard to get out of that race line to let these guys go by. But I do feel like, you know, that, that, I mean, me personally, I feel like that kind of helped Thrasher get by March Banks, you know?
I agree. And normally I'll let lappers have it pretty good if they're not obeying the flags and stuff. Because if you've got a full track, you can still keep your momentum going and not lose a bunch of time, but open up the main line, let the leader go by. And then just jump in with him if there's no one behind him and try to follow. Like that was, I've been lapped plenty of times. That was always my move, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, I noticed, I think Eli did that in one of his races where leaders come by, you just jump in with them.
Right.
And now you're passing everybody, they're passing, they think you're part of that lead train.
Right.
It's a good technique. But in the mud like this, there was only one line, and not even that line was good. But if you got out of it, it was really sketchy. Like where you were, there's a good chance you're going to crash.
Yeah.
So it's hard for those guys, even if they hear them back there and they want to get out of the way, there's not a lot of spots. And this would rear its head again in the 450 class.
Yeah.
But Nate Thrasher put on a clinic. Got his first win, and really the action came late in that race. Those guys were all bunched up with like two to go, and you had Smith worked his way up, rode great too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came from back a ways. Great ride for Shimoda in fourth too, because he was terrible, almost didn't qualify, terrible start, and worked his way all the way to fourth. But
yeah.
Lap to go, RJ tries to make a pass, and you could see this coming. He did the triple, doubled into that turn really wide, and you could see him setting up to cut back and then try to make a block pass in that next turn. And the bike, just slid and caught and just spit him off.
Yeah, and it's like, I know it's easier for all of us, you know, on the other side of the fence watching this race. Like, man, why didn't he just, like, keep that position? Those are valuable points. But, man, when you're out there racing for a title like that, I mean, he's going to give it 100%. Whatever it takes to try to get into that number one spot or make that extra pass, you know? Yeah. So I feel like with RJ, it's sometimes hard for him to balance that. It's hard for him to say, hey, look, you know what? Like, you know, because let's be honest. I mean, that track was really hard for passing, you know? And that's where if he would have just kind of stepped back a little bit and say, hey, look, I've got basically three more corners to go. There's really no passing areas in these next three corners before the finish. Let's just stay where I'm at, gain some points, you know, but it's hard because you're racing and you're trying to win.
It is hard. If he would have sat in third, he would have gained points on the people he's competing for this title against, right? Instead, he lost points to them.
Yeah.
And so it ended up being a bad move. If he could have got to second, that was a couple more. I mean, I get it. I get where his head's at, and you can't start riding defensively. It was a good setup. It just didn't work.
You know,
it's tough. And this is one of the hardest parts about being in a title fight is knowing how hard to push, when to play it safe. Man, that's very tough. So it bit him, but he's still in this. I don't think it's like, you know, critical at this point. Let's go back through. Kitchen picked it up and got a fifth. Hampshire ended up sixth place. Oldenburg, DeFrancisco, Hunter Yoder in ninth. That's you mentioned he was been in the top 10 every round.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give it up for him on, I mean, he's on just a satellite privateer team, and he's putting in some really good rides.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
And then Bodon 10th, the Bar-X Suzuki rider. I chatted a little bit with the Bar-X guys about this kid. They said he's super friendly. English is not great, but he had a shot at a podium up in San Francisco before he fell, hit somebody and fell just through the finish line there.
Yeah.
But interesting to watch him, and multi-time French champion. And I don't know, might be a guy who we see more of. Really, the triple that was the factor in this one. RJ's pass attempt was kind of a, I guess, a low light, but it's important. And then we talked about the lappers a little bit. So looking at the points in the 250 class now, Smith with a pretty decent lead, 67 to Kitchen's 59. That's a comfortable lead when you've only got, you know, four rounds left, four or five. So he's in a good position. It's not over by any means, but he's in a nice spot. Kitchen second at 59, Marchbanks at 57, Hampshire with 54. So he's got some work to do. He's dug himself a bit of a hole, but all it takes is one bad ride from Smith, and now it's all tightened up again.
Well, in this next round, Triple Crown.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So that can and will probably shake things up.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at the rest of them here. So we got the board on in sixth, Shimoda seventh, and he's way out, like 30, 31 points out. It's crazy. Yeah. This is the thing we talk about, the mud. In the 450 class, it's really mixed it up and made it interesting. But in the 250s, it's really eliminated like four top riders from championship contention already, which is a bummer to me.
Yeah.
And then Mumford, eighth. He's having a good season, some good rides. Yoder, ninth, and a Beaumaire in 10th. He's another guy. Beaumaire, we just haven't seen. I don't think the mud is his jam.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what he does again next weekend. All right, let's look at this 450 class because this is where it got really fun. Eli Tomac wins the first heat, and I want to talk about something in this heat. If you guys didn't catch us, go back and watch. Jet's start is terrible. He's literally dead last going dead into last. The first turn. He hugs the inside, comes out about fifth. Mm-hmm. They go around the left, the little step-up thing, which he doesn't even step it up. He's in traffic. And they all are like doubling through the whoops, and he just shifts up and goes, skims across it, passes all four of them, and then has like already has a gap. I mean, it was so fast. And I'm going, man, that's crazy that guy like Eli is just doubling through him, and Jet just like made it look like no big deal. And I don't know if it was the next lap or the one after that, but we learned why. And this was really for me like a moment of the old guy with all the talent and not talent, but just experience. He's seen it and done it all. And this young kid just full of piss and vinegar, you know, testicles stuffed all over the place in his pants and just sending it.
Yeah.
But it bit him. All it takes when it's that greasy is for the bike to step out a little and you're gone.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we were watching the race together and literally right as he entered that whip section before he went down in it, I was like, gosh, that's like risky. He's blitzing those whoops. And then all of a sudden I'm like, he goes down. I'm like, yep.
He still got up and qualified, but I just thought it was a really, an interesting moment to watch this young kid full of fire and Eli, who's just calm, cool, and collected. And if Eli goes on to win this title, it'll be moments like that where you choose to go,
right.
I've seen this before.
Yep.
I know trying to go too fast will bite me. I'm just going to double my way through. Which probably feels to those guys like crawling. They've got to be, it's got to be almost so frustrating. But yeah, you can go through them, skim them fast, maybe, but then maybe not every time.
Yeah.
So anyway, AP wins the second heat. He's looking great. And I think everybody had the same thing in mind. Like, we'd love to see AP win this main. So let's talk a little bit about that main event. This is, of course, your Rock and Turf 450 main event. And Ken Roczen out to an early start. And he was a guy, when it gets muddy like this, Ken's as good as anybody. The last race he won, I think the last handful of races he's won have kind of been muddy, ruddy conditions. So this is his jam, being a GP racer. All those guys are pretty good in that kind of muck. And Ken has such good throttle control and balance that it really suits him. So he was looking great. But you mentioned, like, AP was coming.
He was. He was reeling him in. AP was reeling him in. So, and I know that Ken went down, which allowed AP to, you know, get into the lead. But I think regardless of Ken crashing, AP was coming.
Yeah, I agree. That fight was going to be on.
Yeah.
And I think AP felt like it was his night. And I don't think he was going to let that go easy.
Yeah.
He was owed one and he got it, which we'll get to, you already know if you're watching this. But
yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Roczen kind of had a meltdown after he crashed. He got up, the bike was twisted, and we talked about this, how long it took him to get the bike going. And when you see him kind of rocking it, trying to find neutral, they take those transmissions out, and they'll take the shifting fork and shape it so that it's very hard to find neutral. And that's so that these guys don't catch a false neutral and go over the bars and get hurt. The downside is, when you're actually trying to find neutral, it's incredibly hard. I mean, I remember some of my old race bikes, I would get frustrated. You got to reach down and do it with your hand.
Yeah.
Because you'll just go from first to second. You're like, damn it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find neutral on those bikes. So he actually found it pretty quickly, got it fired up, but he rode like two turns and then stalled it again. I'm like, what is going on? And then he limped it around to the mechanics area, straightened it out, could not get back into the top 10. So not a great night for him. Now, when we're looking at results, there was a couple of things that went on. I didn't see Cooper Webb, and he's been this way other than the first round where he was pushing to the front, and it was pretty obvious he was all over Anderson. Last weekend, kind of nowhere. This weekend, I didn't see him anywhere until about halfway, and I went, oh, look at Cooper Webb.
Yeah, but that's
That's kind of him.
Yeah,
right?
That's a typical Webb. He's this silent rider, and then all of a sudden, and I've even said this previously a lot about him, where I mean, you'll be like watching the front of the race, you're all excited about it, and you're like, oh, Cooper's like 12th or whatever, and before you know it, like a couple of laps to go, you're like, wait,
yeah,
Coop's in third, he's catching the leaders, you know. So that's one thing you got to watch out for Webb, man. He's silent.
Those last eight laps.
Yeah.
You should just, lap 12, you should always just go, okay, where's Cooper Webb? Because it's probably, you're going to see something out of him. And he was really close to catching and maybe making a fight for the win.
Yeah.
You mentioned when they came up to Sexton, and I watched this close because I was thinking in my head, like, ooh, I think they lapped Eli and he was in there at one point. Maybe I'm mixing it up with the heat, but they definitely came up to Sexton and Chase moved out of the way for AP. And then there was enough of a gap. He dropped back in and they came across the start. It looked like he went wide, but Webb wasn't quite close enough to just make a pass. So then Chase is like, well, all right, I'll do this. And they kind of connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next turn, Chase did go wide and let him go. Chase didn't do this intentionally at all. Yeah, if you guys are watching this, I was like, ooh, people are going to be mad thinking he blocked for his teammate. I don't think that's the case, though.
I don't. And especially going back to how these track conditions are, being one line. And obviously, Chase, I mean, he's holding, at that time, he was holding the red plate.
Yeah.
He's gonna race. He is going to race. So he's got to be very careful on, you know how much he gives these guys to get around him as a lapper, you know, because at the end of that, once he gets around him, he's still got to try to race and move forward. So I don't think Sexton was doing that intentionally. I really don't. It just was an unfortunate, you know, situation right there where it just was bad timing.
So not intentional, but that little interaction cost Webb, what would you say, three seconds?
At least.
And then there was another moment where he got a little squirrely, missed a section, and that was kind of all it took to give AP the cushion he needed.
Right.
But it was going to get interesting. Barsha with a solid ride for third, and then Jet came all the way up from pretty far back, I want to say, into the fourth, which was a great ride for him. Anderson fifth. There'll be a little bit more on that later. Stand by. Franda sixth. Hunter, a good ride in seventh. I thought that was a nice, like, solid top 10 for him.
Yeah, and one guy that I don't want to leave out, Ping, that I think I think you're going to see some more out of this kid, is Justin Cooper. Because he was running in the top five.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he goes down, which costed him that. But Justin's been looking really good.
Yeah.
He's been looking really good.
He's a much better 450 rider than I think everyone gives him credit for. Yeah. Last year as a fill-in rider, top 10 every time. He's already had some good rides this year. I think he'll have some ups and downs, but I'm excited to see him when we get onto some regular tracks, not these muddy slop fests, to see what he does, because he's been riding really well.
Yeah,
so you're right. That was a good point to make. So Hunter was seventh. Sexton came back to eighth. Tomac ninth. Dino 10th. And then Prado 11th. Just wanted to throw him in there because he's still top 10 in points. And he decided to stick around one more week. He's going to race A2 before he heads home. And I think he just wants to get another dry race under his belt.
Yeah.
You know, like, these haven't been real supercrosses really these last couple weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have kind of in my notes here, obviously crashes were a factor. Eli went down early. Sexton went down early. Cooper went down. And then what else? What else? The Ando Jet moment. We talked about how one line this track was.
Yeah.
And Jet was clearly faster than Jason Anderson on this night. And if you watch the race, maybe somewhere just past halfway, they went to that battle for a minute. And you actually see after they crossed over the start, they did the little step up thing. Anderson goes into that right hander and brake checks him pretty solid.
Like,
gives him a pretty solid brake check. And you know it's a brake check because it's a right-hander. So, like, you clearly picked your foot up and grabbed the brake. So, anyway, I think that Jet was just pissed from that. Mm-hmm. And he's frustrated that he probably is faster but can't find a way around. We talked about you get out of that main line, it's slower. There's only one fast line around. Everywhere else is greasy and mucky. And you kind of got to force it, which Jet did after the finish eventually. And you spoke to his mechanic and said his mechanic said he wasn't angry about it at all.
Actually, his trainer.
Trainer, sorry.
His trainer, John. I was, John was telling me, he's like, dude, it didn't even register in his mind that there was any kind of issue. Like he, you know, and that kind of stuff, like Jason likes that kind of racing, like where when Jet took him high up and after the finish line, like that doesn't faze Jason one bit. He likes that kind of racing, you know? So at the end of the race, Jason was kind of thrown off. Like, what do you want to talk about? Like, you're calling me over, you know? And going back to him, you know, kind of blocking him. I mean, at the end of the day, being like, I mean, man, Jason, he's there to win a title, you know? So it's going to be hard for him not to...
He's fourth in points, like not that far to lead. You don't give anything up right now.
Right.
And to me, even though I would get really mad when people would brake check me.
Yeah.
I did it too. Like if someone's all over you, you're like, hey, back up, you know, get off me, dude. It's like tapping your brake when someone's tailgating.
Now, let's say you're this guy that's like 10th, 12th in points. You're way out of, you know, obviously you're way far back, you know, maybe have a little bit respect, but you know, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's racing, though.
It is. You know? They're all racing for points and money in the same series. Right. They're all paid to win. Jason is paid to win.
Yes.
Right. That is an expectation of him, just like it is with Jet.
Yep.
This stuff's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, and I've had this happen where you're so pumped up with adrenaline after a race, especially when it doesn't go well. I think Jet's frustrated. He has been so good. Has a perfect summer last year, you know, like he's just kind of like feels like he should be winning.
Yeah.
And it's probably understandable, but these are weird conditions.
Right.
He got lapped last weekend and was off the podium this weekend. I mean, I'm sure he's pissed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So understandable that he boils over and has a little moment and they shake each other's helmets or whatever. To his credit, he did go on Instagram and wrote a little apology. If you didn't see it, I'm sure you can find it. I'm sure it's all over the internet, but just said basically like, hey, I lost my cool tonight. That was on me. I'll pay your fine, Jason. I'm sorry. And they went over and sorted it out. And he said, yeah, send me the invoice. And as per your request, I'll give you tickets to the Jet Lawrence Fan Zone. So
yeah,
I thought that was funny that Jason probably went, well, hey, why don't you give me a couple tickets to your fan zone for you?
Yeah. No, and that's cool.
That's hilarious to me.
Speaking with John too, his trainer, I mean, he's like, Jason's not even bothered one bit.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah.
I don't think it's that big a deal. And also there's some people that will get mad. I was thinking about this, that Feld will nine times, I mean, I'm almost give you a 99% chance they're going to use that footage of them shaking each other's helmets for promotion.
Yep.
People get mad like, well, hold on, you find them,
but
now you're going to use that as marketing? You know, we've seen that all the time, right? The Weston Pike thing is a lot of time, and they got fined. But here's the thing. It's two separate entities doing things here. Feld is the business side, right? They're in the business of getting butts into seats and putting on a good show. The AMA is in charge of setting and upholding the rules. So the rules are in there. You can't lay hands on a guy, right? And if you do, there has to be teeth to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's a fine, it's a fine or whatever it is. I'm glad they didn't try to take points or something stupid like that. That gets, to me, that has to be a serious infraction. But fine them. Totally fine them, you know, like, of course. So I'm not mad at the AMA. The rules are very clear. Jet broke the rules. He apologized. I think he did the right thing. And I think Jason's probably laughing. And I think it's hilarious that he wanted tickets to the fan. Like, I think it's so funny to me. So anyway, no harm, no foul. I think it's fine. It was just... People like the drama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so anything else? Let's look at the points. And this is what's wild. So AP goes on to win. Here, let's talk about the results. AP gets the win. Webb all the way to second. Great ride. Barcia, Jet, Anderson, Frandis, Hunter, Sexton, Tomac, Dino, Prado. Here's the points. AP with the red plate. I didn't even think about that when he was leading, that he would also be the points leader.
Yeah.
But to your point, just like these muddy races have kind of, in my opinion, screwed up the 250 points chase, they've actually really made it tight in the 450 class, where I'm not saying we would have a runaway by anybody, but if it was dry first three rounds, I bet the point separation would be bigger.
Absolutely. And I've said that, like, for how bad I hate these mud races, it's definitely opened up the field for other racers to win and keep this season interesting.
So AP's got 60 points, and here's where it gets crazy good. Sexton only one back at 59. Jets at 56, so right there. And then Jason Anderson, Cooper Webb, Dylan Ferrandis, all tied at 49, Tomac at 48. I mean,
wow.
You're talking seven riders all within 12 points.
Wow.
Which is negligible at this point in the series. So that to me is great. Any one of these guys this week are going, okay, I'm in this. I'm in this title fight. Let's get to work. Mm-hmm. And that includes Jason Anderson and Jet, who have hopefully worked things out. And that's another thing, just to throw a little bit more on that. You start getting into it, if you're a guy like Jet, and I'm sure that Lars and his dad and all those guys went, dude, listen, I don't care how mad you are, come back and yell and scream in the trailer, because you pissed Jason Anderson off. You're going to have to race him 15 more times this year. And plus also, you know, like, don't make him mad and make him want to take you out.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can race aggressively, but just show some respect.
Right.
And it'll make it a lot easier on you. Right. Yeah. Like,
and based off the history of Anderson, kind of the wrong guy you want to start doing that with.
No, you don't want to do that. He's better than Vince Freese, but Jason will put you into the cheap seat.
That's the thing. Jason, he likes that stuff. You're going to do it. If you're going to come at him, you better be ready for him to come back at you.
Agreed. So anyway, great points, Chase. I'm finally stoked. It looks like we're going to have a dry race next weekend. Anything else in your notes from the weekend?
Man, that's I think that's kind of covers you know, the top discussions of things.
Yeah. So cool stadium down there at Snapdragon. It was a good event. Those guys did a great job. Appreciate you guys watching. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rock and Turf and Maxxis. If you guys are looking for truck tires or any kind of artificial grass, and also check out their little grass mats that they have. You can use them under your bike, out in front of your RV or trailer, motorhome, whatever. Use them as a changing mat.
Yeah, we've talked about
great stuff. We love those guys. Appreciate them. So thanks for watching. For Bruce and myself, we'll see you guys next time. Stop back by for Sightlap, which will drop Thursday as we look ahead to Anaheim 2. We'll see you.